paranormal science.
Good evening. Welcome to the edition of Paranormal Science. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zurich.
I'm Ed McRae.
I'm Kelly McRae.
Oh, that was good, Ed.
I slid that in there like that. I wondered if you were going to catch that little change.
I got worried there. What's going on?
I'm feeling well. Don't worry.
All right.
Just check. A little change in the name there.
Oh, yeah. It's getting a little drawn out. I don't want to take up all that time when Kelly's got to get in there.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe like the powers of P or somebody said something.
Negative on that.
All right. Just checking.
Hey, Joe, do you have anything to tell us tonight?
I do not. Yes, I do.
Your bloodied, cut up figures?
Yeah. I have Timmy the Turnip, ladies and gentlemen.
Round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it took me 3 years, but I did it. It's all right. I kindly named him Timmy. He's an ugly little turnip, but he'll be all right.
Timmy will be up shortly.
Yes, he will.
See what he looks like.
You can see him on the... We'll post him on Paranormal Science's website, or on Facebook, I mean. So, getting close to Halloween.
Yes, it is.
And, of course, this is, I guess, what you would say the paranormal time. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets in the mood now. Even if you don't believe, everybody goes out to the haunted houses and the the haunted walks and the tours and the ghost tours. And so it's a big time of year.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
And I know you put some stuff together that we kind of hinted on last week about the veil and stuff being the thinnest, of course, in October, especially All Hallows Eve, which most people know is obviously October 30th. And I have to admit, even as a kid...
it's not Mischief Night?
Right, Mischief Night. Yeah, for those that aren't sure.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
No, you're right. But even as a kid, like, as we know, I was always interested in the paranormal. But before I actually knew about it, before I was educated within it, I always felt different on Mischief Night. I always felt like it was, I don't want to relate it to like a Christmas morning, but it was like that type of different feeling. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always felt on Christmas morning that it was like a peaceful thing and like, the whole world was just happy. I don't know if it was just my blissfully ignorant when I was young or whatever, but it's just, no, seriously. I had that feeling, it was just, you felt the love in the house, the whole nine yards. Well, All Hallows Eve always felt to me something different. I always felt like it was like the air seemed just that much more crisper. The night seemed just that much more darker. The silence seemed just that much more silent.
Silent, right.
That's the only way I can explain it. I don't know how to put it into words.
No, not at all.
It was just like... just different.
Different, yes.
Yeah, so, like, and that's what the kind of, like... I always thought that when I was a kid. And then even when... I remember, back in the days on the ambulance and stuff. Remember, we used to ride around for the Halloweeners. We used to put the spotlights on and ride around this and that.
Yep.
And, even then, it was always a different feeling. Like, you'd have the windows down in the ambulance, and you'd be riding around saying hi to the kids and that. And it just always felt, the energy, if you will, felt different that night. Always for me. And now, of course, we're going to talk about that. Stan does all our research and stuff, which,
I think I'm going to pass that down to Ed soon.
Oh.
Yeah, because he doesn't have enough to do.
Wow. No, it's got all this free time in his hands.
No, that's awesome. Thank you.
How many more hats do I have to wear?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Good.
Well, you know what? Being that it's Hallows Eve, you're talking, it'll be hats I'll be wearing. It'll be masks.
That's right.
The mini masks of Mac.
Yeah. And if anybody's out there and knows how the masks came about and why, give us a call. We know. We just want to hear from you. And maybe there'll be something.
If anybody out there has stories on... why the veil is thin. Some, maybe some of our psychics could call in.
That'd be great. Why is the veil so thin? I'd love to hear from people. I love callers. They keep our show interesting.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know what's nice? You're hearing the different stories that evolve about the same thing. Everybody's got a different story, a different twist on it or take, so to say.
Absolutely.
And it's always nice to hear those different storylines.
It is. It is. I know we have the we have that bus trip coming up for ECPC. Maybe we'll do a caller thing tonight. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
You mean the Christmas trip to New York City?
That's correct. Searching for the Christmas spirit. When is that? That is December 17th.
December 17th.
That's right.
And it's going to be an awesome time.
That's correct. And we lowered our prices.
Mm-hmm.
We did lower the price. You got to check out the Facebook, or no, I'm sorry, our... what's it called? Website. Thank you.
Haven't changed it there yet, but they are lowered.
Yeah, they are lowered. So as soon as we get a chance, we'll change it on there. And Stan, what did they go to?
They went $39.
$39 from $49, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's our Christmas gift to everyone. Hopefully, we'll get the bus filled up and we'll have a real good time out there. So
I think we will. Week before Christmas, tree's up, lights are out. Like I said, I'm looking for calories.
Calories.
He's looking for calories.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. I just had some before I came here. I had some sushi. That was some calories.
Carolers. I think that's right.
We'll find
them
for you,
Stan. That's my goal out there. That's my goal this year.
I'll tell you, Holly and I grabbed something before the show here. And, I don't know if you guys tried Fuji or not down in Pittston.
No.
My son goes there.
This is a free plug for them. But I'll tell you what, phenomenal. If you like sushi.
Where are they at? Where are they located at?
Right on Main Street there. Okay. As you're going to Words Duryea on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, it's half-price sushi.
It's
Sunday.
Sushi.
So.
Oh, I won't eat it. I'm just putting a name on there.
No. Sushi's good.
No, but it's not just sushi, though. I mean, we had noodles and chicken. It was ramen, not at all. Nope. Lo mein, not ramen, lo mein.
That's good noodles. I like them.
Yeah. So I think you'd like it. It's really good. It really is. So that's a free plug for them. They probably have no clue I just did that, but that's all right. Excellent.
Hopefully they're listening, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You never know.
A little bit of a language barrier there, but it was very nice.
Well, is it like the Chinese restaurant we used to go to in Wilkes-Barre, like a family-run place?
It is. I got a bowl of soup the same size that you used to get. Remember in Plains there?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, so it's got some good,
good flavor.
Portions, that's the word I'm looking at. I'm a little off tonight, don't mind me. I'm trying to stifle my cough here, so if I start coughing on air, my apologies.
All right, time to move on. What were we talking about now?
I have no clue.
The veil.
The veil. Why it's so thin. Veil's thin, believe it or not, you okay over there, John?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right, I'm back.
Mid-October to about the first week in November. It's not just one or two days. It thins out for the last week. And then it comes back after that. Okay, what's going on over there?
I'm looking
dead silent.
Because we have a caller, but I can't see my
stand by, technical difficulties.
Please stand by.
However, the caller.
That's all right. Well, we can still get the caller. I just don't know the don't know the name. So hold on 1 second. Welcome, caller. I can't tell what name you are, but welcome.
Michael from Wilkes-Barre Township.
Hey, Michael. Welcome.
How you doing? First and foremost, guys, I'd like you to say a prayer for my mom. She passed away last week, and she went to internal rest. But anyway.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. This just happened a couple hours ago. My best friend I ever had in my life, honest to God, he passed away from pancreatic cancer May 4th. And not far from here, he has a little hunting cabin, and I'm more or less like entrusted by the family to go up there and check on the place, you know. You have to drive in the road about a mile. It's like an Amish shed that's all fixed up, but it's really nice. A beautiful little piece of land. It's like grandfathered into the game lands and so forth. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I went up like to reflect on things today and just sit there and have a beer and like with the leaves and the wind and everything and find some peace. It's very peaceful there. So I have an old Chevy truck. It's all been restored. And I drove up there, and I got to the place, and the button on the lock, it's no electric locks or nothing, it's all manual. The button was down, and I shut the truck off. I attempted to get out the door, and I noticed it was locked, so I started fooling around with the knob. And there's no way this door would open. It's just the mechanism would not work. So the passenger side was open, and I went out that way. So I figured, well, let's see what's going on here. I just start with the keys, jingling them in the lock, and jigging around, like pushing on the door a little bit. And finally it gave way, and it opened up. And I'm thinking, well, what happened here? I just looked, and in Dan's place he has up there, there's a little tiny toolbox. It's still there and all, like with screwdrivers, your basic little tools. And there's a picnic table there. And I figured, well, I'll take the upholstery off the door and just see maybe with the lock, maybe like a bolt or a nut fell off something and it's not working properly.
Uh-huh.
So I took all that off. And, you know, like the striker, where the striker is, and that paw comes up to catch the door, like when you're, you know, just when you shut the door on an automobile, it locks, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I pushed that back, and this thing would not come back for anything. I'm there jimmying around with, like, a screwdriver and so forth, looking, and I took everything off the door, and I'm looking, seeing how the mechanism, and finally, like, the locks start coming up, but this thing would not give way in any shape or form, so I drove right back down from Bear Creek, and I'm holding the door closed with my hand.
Oh, that'd be
and
fun.
I come over to Pine Run Road, and a good friend of mine, he restores antique automobiles. I just figure, well, I'm going to take a chance and stop and ask him. He may have a special tool. Maybe it's just something like with the lock, like a little special simple tool to reset it or something.
Yeah.
So I went and I got him. He's in a garage. We walked up back up to the truck. And I said, Stuart, look at the door. And I said, it won't shut at all. And he got the door, just opened and shut. He says, what's the matter with it?
Oh. Nice.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. I went right back up to Dan's place up there, and I got his toolkit back out and put the upholstery back on. And but I couldn't figure, like I said, with everything that's going on, or, you know, it was very strange, though, you know?
You never know. It's just...
Yeah. So I thought it'd be a neat story to tell you guys tonight, you know? So.
What, anything else happen after that?
No, the doors work like a Swiss clock.
Awesome. I guess that was enough for one day.
Yeah, yes it is. I have to go back to work tomorrow, finally, you know, so. Okay, guys, thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you what, you know, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts here, we, you know, our thoughts and prayers are definitely with you and your family and your mom.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
But, yeah, definitely, it's always sad to hear something like that, and may she rest in peace.
Yeah, Mike calls in on a regular basis, one of our regular listeners,
It's, like I said, everybody at Paranormal Science here, your thoughts and prayers are with you. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Hey, it's Mark Hayes from Paranormal Science. Did you ever get that feeling like you have 1,000 demons tearing at your back? You know the pain. Are you uncomfortable in your own body, like you're possessed with somebody else's torment and suffering? You don't need an exorcist. You need chiropractics. Dedicated to providing the best chiropractic and rehabilitative care possible, Chiropractics will get you back into the body you remember. Chiropractics, 569 Pier Street, Kingston, PA. Check them out on the web, getchiropractics.com, T-I-X on the end, or call 570-288-5800 and get back to living.
Elmer here. Was at the East Coast Paracon last week. Met a lot of nice people. Had a great time. There was a Native American fellow there selling feathers, bows, and knives. And another lady there selling essential oils. She tried to spray me with something called Essence of Hawk. This stuff smelled good. Not a bit like the Hawk I know. Went to see a psychic while I was there, and they told me I have a family waiting for me on the other side. I hope I make them wait a long time. Thanks to everyone who came out to make this such a success, and we'll see you next year.
All right, welcome back to Paranormal Science. Could you guys hear me okay? Okay, I couldn't hear my headset there. Welcome back. We're going to need the lights on. Could you read that, Stan, or no?
No.
It's a little dark.
Sorry, during the break, we're actually taking some pictures of Timmy.
The turnip.
to post
lights
on,
are hot.
To post on our Facebook page here. He's glowing of orange. He actually looks like a little gourd. You can't even tell he's a turnip. So we're going to take a regular picture of him and then a picture of him glowing so that way no one thinks I cheated with a small pumpkin or something.
You got us all back. You know, we know firsthand. We saw the finished product. We see what it is, and you completed your task.
That's right.
You did.
That's right.
Took him a while to do it. We had to embarrass him into it, but he did it.
Not we. Stan.
I've been working on it for 3 years to do this now.
That's complete.
Now I'm gonna have to find something for next year now.
Yeah, well, no. You're up next year, not this kid.
I'm up.
Yeah. No, we know what he's up for, and it is going to come.
What's that?
Past life regression he has to finish up.
That's right.
That's right. I'll have to do that.
That is right.
Yeah.
That is worth the wait, though.
I know. I can't wait.
The final chapter, so to say.
The last three lives.
That's right.
It's going to be good.
Three lives. Awesome. Yeah. So, do we want to get started on this?
Yeah, when we left off, we were talking about the veil.
Yes. Yeah, crank it up, Stan. Give us
some info. I mentioned that it starts mid-October and goes into early November. They have exact dates. Starts around, lasts from October 14th to November 4th every year. That's when the veil is the thinnest.
So it's already started. You know, we're already, the 24th today, or 23rd. So
it is halfway between, I believe, is the fall equinox and the winter equinox, solstice.
Yeah, winter solstice.
Fall solstice. Halfway between that.
Winter solstice, fall equinox, yeah.
Right, and there's another one that comes in the spring. That's the same thing between the solstice and the, I don't know what you call it, spring equinox?
I know there's a summer solstice, so is it the...
No, this is exactly the same, like a year from now, or half a year back.
Huh.
Yeah, it's in the spring.
Okay.
The veil thins out. It's these two times of the year.
But it's most notable, obviously, before Halloween in October.
Right. Well, everybody thinks about it now. There's a lot of holidays.
Well, that's just it, too. Right. We give it a lot of energy thinking about it. And
that leads on to another thing. You mentioned last year you wonder why it's thinner this time of the year. Why? What happens that, you know, makes it like this?
Right.
It's not that it's thinner.
What is it?
That more people are concentrating on the dead and empowering the dead.
There you go, making the energy there.
Exactly.
Fueling it. Yeah, exactly. Makes some sense there.
More energy. People praying for the dead. All Souls Day. Day of the Dead.
Right.
And I think there's a couple other holidays in there.
Hmm.
What's that one, Wiccans use? Shaman? Shah something?
Oh, there's I'm lost here.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a name for it.
Rosh Hashanah?
No, that's Jewish.
Right, that's what I thought you meant.
No, there's one that Wiccans use.
Well, they have... They have rights too.
Yeah,
I can't remember. No, Rosh Hashanah, I think, might be Christmas time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, I'm definitely not up on that. But we do have a caller, so hold on. I can't announce a person, but welcome, caller. Welcome, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
There we are. Welcome.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. I wanted to share one odd thing that happened to me. I was moved up in the area, so up in the northwest area, and I've been here about 28 years.
Northwest Territories?
Excuse me?
The Northwest Territories or Northwestern Pennsylvania?
Northwest
area.
I'll give you this. Southern Luzerne County.
Redford.
I didn't really want to pinpoint where I was at.
All right, no, sorry about that. Okay.
But I was at when I first was up here, and like anything else, like I got married at about 28, 29 years old, and I'll just give you a quick rundown. And you know, come from a different area, and kind of like where I live, there's a lot of people are related to everybody, but and like so you have to basically fit in, and I did. I mean, I was kind of easy going. Maybe a little Michigan at times, but anyway. but the one neighbor took a liking to me, and he nice guy, but type of guy that like if even like with his any of his like relatives, if they didn't do anything, they had one shot. If they did something wrong, he would disown them. Him and that's how he was. That's just the way he was. Nice, I tell you what, heart of gold, nice guy. He worked on a Berwick power plant, and he bought a lot of the area, like land area, and he basically gave it off to like to nephews and nieces and whatever throughout the years. But like I said, if they said, hey, come to, and later on in life, he had sugar and he ended up dying from it, but he always liked me, and I'm basically maybe 300 yards from him. So when I would get home, come home from work, he would, yo, Joe, And if he wanted it, like, what he was doing is, like, having a beer on his porch. So
enjoying himself. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what was great about it, like, my wife loved the guy. Like she never had a I don't think she had a... she had brothers, but she never had a sister. It was like the sister she never had, honestly, because that's how close she was to him. So anytime he yelled that, that was it. Like, you know, go down there and help this guy. You know, he probably needs this and that. And then he was heavy set, and like, towards the end of his life. And what happened was, like I said, that yo Joe, that was it. So that was it. That was my word. Basically, I'm going down for some beers. And most of the time, I go down there and just, hey, open, crack one open. It's hot as hell, you know. That's how it was, and that's basically what it was. So they had me as a pallbearer. He did pass away, kind of like throughout the years, though, he did disenfranchise himself from everybody. Like I said, he was that way. But he sat and talked to me and told me things, and like, this is, you know, he was hard in front, but in the center, he had a soft spot. And he knew. He said, this is my death sentence. And he couldn't get, he worked, but he couldn't get he couldn't get pills for his sugar or diabetes. He died. He said, this is my death sentence. And he died. And so anyway, what I'm getting at is, when he did pass away, he passed away, and I think it was a day before, it was like around the hunting season, because I remember going back, and he always told me this one area not to go into, my quad. I went in there, I got stuck. I left it there. It was crazy. So I walked back in, and my wife's telling me, you know, Frank died. As I'm walking, like, back from my property, because we own some acreage up here. And I took it hard, and they asked me to be pallbearer. So anyway, Buzz pallbearer, so on and so forth. So it was like spring. It was the spring of the following year, and I was up golfing. And I was at where this place is. There's the golf course. There's a cemetery, so I don't. You could probably figure it out. Didn't really want it, but couldn't. It didn't look the same, you know, in the spring when everything's up. And I'm not like a big golfer going every week, so I went like when it was pretty much green and nice. And I thought to myself, on the golf course by myself, so I was gonna. I sliced a ball in that area, general area, and I wanted to go and put a beer on his grave. And I did. Well. Believe it or not, I took a couple beers to be on the golf cart. Right. You know, I had a designated driver. So anyway, so I went down there to look, and I couldn't find where his tombstone was. So I went back up, and it was the last, basically, in the ninth hole, and I shot one, and I was up there ready to tee off again. I went up to tee off again, and all of a sudden, I can hear. Yo, I'm telling you. Now, plain as day. Now, there is some lay explanations I thought about it. Like, from the road, you know, you could, if somebody seen my car parked there, they could have seen me and said that from a passing car, and that distance would have sounded that way, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We just bought a new vehicle, okay? And I took my wife's car, and we traded the vehicle in, so I had my golf cart, my golf clubs in that car.
Right.
So that no one knew we had a new vehicle. Okay, a different old. So no one knew that. So as I'm parked there, even though, you know, I'm not really, you know, that well known, but I mean, somebody could have seen my vehicle and said that. Now when I was teeing off, no, that wasn't, that couldn't have been. And so I called, and here's the other freaky part that I thought was weird. Is how they say that, like, when something like this happens, that like electrical current, electricity, whatever, so, hey, like, it'll kill a battery. So I called up, and I was on that last hole, and I called the owner, and I said, hey, just bring up a propane tank, and I think that's all it is, run our propane. But here they have, on Wednesdays, they have leaks, so they change all the, I think it was right, they run by propane, I believe. And so she said, no, that's not the problem. She has to be electrical. And that blew my mind, because after seeing, like, a lot of these shows are saying that it'll suck, like, a battery dry, right?
Okay.
So whatever that ran on, a 6-volt, maybe 12, probably a 6-volt, I'd imagine, just to crank it over. And it sucked the I'm telling you, I had no problem with it all day. And I went to that last hole right after that, and I went to crank it, dead as anything. And I heard him, yo, I'm telling you, it was just like I pulled in my driveway, yo, Joe. And wow. So when I called her, she said, no. So I went back. I never followed up to ask her what was wrong with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, it's all those unexplained things that makes us always wonder and think about what it could be, you know. And like you said, there's so many different variables there. You just never know.
Well, the variables were, I went and looked at them and looked at them, but no, the way they were. And there was another mother thing, I'll call it, is I asked him if, you know, if you can hear me and if there's something to put out a lottery in the lottery, and I said I don't want to win money on your loss. Just put this number out, and I'll tell you what, I forget what it was, but he really took a liking to my wife, and I believe her birthday came out the day after he died.
Oh wow!
And and I will get that and show you this. This is like, you know, I didn't want to really get into it that heavy case or something because I thought it was kind of private. And yeah. But as weird as it and as odd as it seems, I looked at different perspectives, like you said, to try to go this route, that route. There's no other route to explain. It's remarkable, like the sequence of things that happened.
Right, the sequence of events and how it goes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You guys have a good one.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I love when they call in and they share their stories,
what they're involved in.
Because, you know, people open themselves up and they're talking to, you know, the world, essentially, because we are on the web, so they're talking to anybody out there that could listen. And we certainly do appreciate that.
I mean, it is something when you hear your name called and there's nobody else there.
Oh, right. It's startling. It definitely is.
Yeah. And you hear of it every so often in that, and people want to know if it's just them.
And like you said, it wasn't just his name. It was the whole sentence that he always used to yell. So that in and of itself brings it, you know, even
hits
closer.
Home.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think what we'll do is we'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll try to hit up this veil again. All right. We'll be back.
It's Elmer. I forgot to tell you what the guys are doing now. They have a bus trip to New York City planned. It's going to be on Saturday, December 17th, just 1 week before Christmas. This is their third annual holiday bus trip. Nothing paranormal here unless you're thinking of the two guys running this thing. There's nothing normal about them. For more information, go to their website, www.eastcoastparacon.com. I may just go on this trip myself. Talk to you soon.
Warning, this program may contain material that is controversial to some listeners. Spontaneous enlightenment may occur.
All right, welcome back, Paranormal Science. So Elmer might go on this bus trip. I'm excited for that.
Elmer, if we can get him on the bus trip.
Yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does.
Yay,
Elmer.
We should have like a contest to see if we could find Elmer hiding on the bus.
Like a Where's Waldo? Like a Where's Elmer?
Yeah, something on that, Nort.
Where's Elmer? Yeah.
Oh, that'd be pretty neat. Maybe we should.
Where in the world is Elmer?
Get the free lollipop. Yeah.
Where in the world is Elmer? Remember that Carmen San Diego stuff? We're getting off topic.
We're going to lose him in New York City. He won't make it to the bus to come back.
Yeah, right? Yeah. At least he gets off the subway in time.
Alrighty, where were we?
The veil.
We talked about the time of the year the veil is in. How people basically conjured up themselves. I mean, you've got all different holidays, religious holidays, different things at that time. You got people praying for the dead. You've got something, I don't know if it's just Mexico or the Spanish people, South American people celebrate the Day of the Dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's a big thing.
That is a big thing out there.
Go to the cemetery and have a picnic with a full-blown meal and everything.
Yes.
You have to honor the dead, and it's, you know.
And I, you know, it's different out of every culture, how they do that stuff and that, you know, and different ways they celebrate death.
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, some cultures believe that's the beginning of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
When you die is actually the beginning, and it's just the opposite of how we normally, you know, I wouldn't say we normally look at it, but how a great majority looks at it. It's not necessarily the end, it's a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's just another part of, well, I shouldn't say part of life, but another step.
It is. No, it is a part of life, well, absolutely.
Another step, whatever we are at that point, right.
Absolutely.
Right. I believe, matter of fact, I wish I knew the dates and I tell everybody, but there is a, I don't know what it is, a Mexican church, a Spanish church up in Scranton.
Okay.
They're having a big festival. I think it's the end of the month, because I think the Day of the Dead is November 2nd, 3rd, or 1st and 2nd, somewhere in that time frame. And they're having a festival, and they're inviting all the public out to go to their festival to celebrate the Day of the Dead.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Excuse me. I would not mind doing that.
Just check it out and see what the event that took place and everything and how the festivities went.
I'm always interested in stuff like that. I really am. Different
things, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's amazing. I'm looking online at pictures of what they do there. They actually dress up like skeletons, dead people. And I guess that's so that the dead can mingle with them, walk around, and you won't notice a difference. They won't be.
Everybody fits in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me see what else I can find. I can't pronounce them. Does anybody here speak Spanish?
Se habla español poquito.
Okay, then come over here and read this. It's Dia de los Muertos.
I'll give it my best shot.
Stand by.
Ed makes his way around the table here.
As he's
working his way through the lab.
As Paranormal Science repositions himself to talk about
something. Let's see, where is it at?
You lost it on the screen.
No, I didn't lose it. It's right there. That word.
De los
Muertos?
Was it?
De los Muertos?
Muertos. Yes, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Well, anyway.
What is it?
It's the Day of the Dead.
Oh.
It's the holiday, okay. The Day of the Dead.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Mexico's rampant with folk tales about what entails about what happens if someone neglects their dead ancestors on the Day of the Dead.
Huh.
Yeah, if a spirit returns to find no one has built an altar for them and that their loved ones only left them paltry offerings, they will feel sad and angry, especially when they see the bounteous offerings other spirits receive. So I guess spirits get jealous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as in life, you know, some people get jealous of others, you know, and it just may carry on to the spirit world.
I guess. I mean, it's...
Well, we've always said, as far as spirits, what you're like here in life is... If you're
how you are in the other.
That's right.
How many psychics have told us that, so...
Mm-hmm. And it says, neglected spirits may seek vengeance on those who have forgotten them. And additionally, many folk tales describe how those that are ignored, their deceased loved ones, fall immediately ill and even meet their death shortly after the holiday.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you're not nice to the dead ones...
They come and get you.
You'll be one of them. They'll be celebrating you next year.
Hmm. I see we have another caller here.
Okay.
That's too soon next year for me.
All right. Bob, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Bob.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you all doing?
Good. All right, how are you?
I'm good. Well, after hearing that other caller, I have to tell you a little something about when my twin brother died. When we were in our 20s, we set up this agreement that whoever died first, if there was an afterlife, they would somehow send a message back to the one who was still living. So we decided we had to come up with a word for it. And we had these neighbors, they were named the Thames, and they put out these beautiful Christmas candles every year at Christmas. So we said, that's it. Well, the secret word will be the Thames candles. And we didn't think about it much beyond that. Mm-hmm. So then in 2010, he died of cancer. And, of course, I was taking care of things that had to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And his best friend called. And she was on the phone and she said, you know, I don't usually burn candles for people, but in your brother's case, I'm going to burn a candle, even though I don't usually burn candles.
Uh-huh.
And then when she said it the third time, I suddenly remembered this agreement we had made that was going to be like the Thames candles. Well, obviously, he was never going to come up with the word Thames, but his friend was telling me candle, and she said it three times. And I burst out laughing, and I told her about the agreement so that she wouldn't think I was just totally nuts.
Yeah, right.
But it was funny because he obviously kept his end of the agreement by doing that. And there were some other manifestations, too, that he made himself evident.
Wow.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome, Bob.
And one more thing. The whole thing that you also need to include with your discussion of the veil and death and all that, is you're in the astrological sign of Scorpio, and that has two significant aspects. One is sexuality, and the other is death. So, where things show up in Scorpio on your chart can indicate when you might be going to pass or something.
Well, I'm a Scorpio. Let me know, Bob.
November 13th?
That's
well,
right.
I don't know your date of death. I'd have to see your chart. But anyway.
Well,
okay.
I'll email you. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks,
thanks for
Bob.
The call.
I love when Bob calls in. He's a wealth of knowledge.
Absolutely.
I enjoy that.
Absolutely. And share about his brother. That's awesome.
Yes.
In case anybody's wondering, Timmy is up on Paranormal Sciences Facebook page. Timmy the Turnip is up. His original carving, his secondary carving to have him light up, and then, of course, the third one, him being lit up. So Timmy is alive and well. If you notice the first one, he actually has some hair on his little turnip head.
He has more hair than I do.
You.
He does. So he is up and running and glowing.
That is the three stages of Timmy the Turnip.
That's correct.
Now your fingers could heal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the finished product, it looks good. That last picture, yeah. I mean, he looks good.
He
looks scary.
He looks like a little pumpkin. He's all right, yeah. He's got... the teeth weren't supposed to turn out like that. It just kind of happened that way. They're a little softer than a pumpkin, so that was an oops, but that's all right.
I don't know how you howled it out. That's
It was interesting. I almost had to... I'll be honest with you, like, the bottom of it's very hard, so I had to cut through that, and then what I did was I just kind of, like, cut the back out a little bit and then just start scooping out, like, with a little... With a knife.
It did. It came out nice.
Yeah, it came out all right.
Yeah.
My first turnip. I might carve a turnip every year now. They're a lot easier than a pumpkin. A little harder because they really are. They're a lot
really?
Easier. They are. He was so soft, like, compared to a pumpkin. The other thing is you have to be very careful.
We're so small. I mean, you're going
to... That's the thing. You have to use tinier tools, but...
Yeah. Timmy the Turnip.
Cute little guy.
Yeah. Oh, righty.
Awkward silence.
Yeah, so where were you, Stan?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Stan to kick in with that.
Dead people. Talking about the day of the dead.
Dead people.
Yeah, boy. Now, the Celts believed the normal laws of space and time were held in abeyance during this time. It means basically time stopped during this.
Really?
During this time here. Yeah, allowing a special window where the spirits would intermingle with the living. It was a night when the dead would cross with the veils and return to the land of the living to celebrate with their family or clan. As such, the great burial mounds of Ireland were lit up with torches, lining the walls so the spirits could find their way. The dead spirits.
It's like, what is it? We'll leave the light on for you. Motel Motel 6 or whatever that is.
We're plugging people left and right today.
They leave the light on for you, so that basically the Irish, and they were leaving the light on for the dead to come back and visit them.
Mm-hmm. You ever been to an Irish funeral? It's a party after the funeral.
Yes, yeah. I have.
Well, I suspect you guys would.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. I think you may have. You'd have a little bit of information on that, the parties.
It's a family reunion afterwards. That's
basically what it is. It's a party, a family reunion, and everybody basically celebrates the dead.
And you know what? Yeah. It's such an unfortunate event, but at times what brings your family together is a time of the death.
Well, unfortunately, nowadays, that's all. It's either going to be, what people say, a wedding or a death.
Oh,
that's what brings people together, the families.
Life is so
sad
busy.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
Yep. Joe, do you remember anything about jack-o'-lanterns? Every year we talk about that.
I do. I remember Jack was a trickster. I remember that's where the turnip thing came in. That's how we started this.
Mm-hmm.
What else was it?
Well, come on. He made a deal with somebody.
The devil.
He made a deal with the devil. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're going to tell them the rest? Or are you just going to let them hang in?
The Irish folk, jack-o'-lantern was used to light the lost soul of Jack, notorious trickster, stuck between two worlds. Jack is said to have tricked the devil into a trunk of a tree, and by carving an image of a cross on the tree's trunk, he trapped the devil there. His pranks denied him access to heaven, and having angered the devil also to hell. So Jack was a lost soul trapped between the worlds.
Wow.
See, I heard a different one.
Mm. Did you really?
Yeah.
Please, do tell.
Yeah, we want you to.
Good, come on,
Kel.
He made a deal with the devil not to take his soul.
Okay.
I can't remember why, but he made a deal with the devil not to take his soul. And then when he died, they wouldn't let him into heaven. So he didn't want to be stuck between two worlds. And he went to hell to talk to the devil, and the devil wouldn't let him in.
Right.
But gave him an ember to put in the lantern.
So he could travel?
So he could see where he was going because it was so dark. So he walked, and that's where the light and the jack-o'-lantern came
from. That's, I did hear that one.
Jack-o'-lantern, right.
That's right. I did hear that one.
And that was basically the original jack-o'-lantern was back to the termit.
Turnip. Like Timmy here on
turnip. And it was a turnip because he had a turnip in his pocket because he loved turnips. That's where the turnip came from.
I'll be honest with you. I tried it. I tried some of Timmy while I was carving him out there, and he tastes kind of like a radish.
I was going to say, he looks, appears to be that way, like a radish on steroids.
I thought he was a rutabaga.
Yeah, that's what Stan's telling me. I've carved a rutabaga.
I don't know if there's a difference between a turnip and a rutabaga.
I don't know.
How about jack-o'-lanterns as far as pumpkins? They started here in the United States. We had pumpkins here from the Indians. Now they're back in Ireland. Irish came over here with their turnips, switched to the pumpkin, and then the tradition went back home, and they're using the pumpkin over there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So nice. We said something back to the old school, to the old times land.
Yes, we did.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So whether you're carving a turnip or a pumpkin, hey, enjoy yourself this Halloween.
That is for Halloween.
Yeah.
Fun time and, you know, however you choose to enjoy it, either watching scary flicks or maybe doing a little paranormal investigations of that, you know, make the best of it.
That's it. The veil is thin.
If you're gonna do it's on a weekend, too. It's on a weekend.
If you want to do an investigation, leads me to my favorite place, Suskin. Go for a ride.
Pick up a copy
of Suskin Screams.
I was going to say, while you're up there, pick up a book.
You'll know where to go.
You'll know where to go. And believe it or not, I've got a lot of people that have stopped me, have called me, and done just that.
Well,
they've gone for a ride if they really enjoyed themselves.
They could put the ember in their turnip and read the book by the turnip's light.
There you go.
Not sure how glowing a turnip could be with an ember in it, but it might work.
Well, you could put one of those little LED lights in there. They're pretty bright these days.
Then you could have, like, you know, paradise by the turnip light.
That's somebody called. Yeah, right around the mountain with a turnip.
That's right.
I mean, you know, talk about Hallows Eve and that, you know, the 30th. I remember years and years ago, me and my brother, we went to a Catholic school, and one of the rumors going on, somebody started, was the devil's chains get looser.
Oh, really?
On Hallows Eve, yeah. And I know, and my brother was pretty nervous about it.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
He actually went to the priest asked if that was true, and, you know, supposedly it was somewhere written in the Bible, and I remember the priest, you know, gave a little chuckle, and he assured him that that was not true or that anywhere in the Bible. But, yeah, that was spreading around pretty good, that the devil's chains got looser.
I get that person credit. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. Had a lot of people nervous. I'll put it that way.
Keep the kids in line. Don't, you know.
Yeah. No one.
Devil's going to be out tonight.
No one missed trick or treated then, did they? That's funny, actually.
I mean, you wonder where somebody starts those rumors and where it's come from. You know,
a lot of tales. A lot of started somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just grew. It got added to, taken away from. It might have changed 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. Somebody puts their own little twist on it and everything like that. You know, sauces it up a bit, make it more scarier or more lucrative to tell at the campfire. And
that's right.
Something we touched on earlier. Now, it probably is very easy for a spirit to manifest itself now or during Halloween.
Well, sure, because
they'll blend. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll blend in. I mean, I never gave it too much thought of that. You know, somebody could be walking down the street and there could be somebody else walking down the street that nobody pays attention to.
That's it.
You get like the funniest looks from everyone you meet. It's like, what's going on, you know? But that's just...
Well, it's like the black-eyed children we talk about now and then. That's perfect time for them to come out.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Especially today's makeup and costumes. You'd think somebody, you know, that was just part of a costume. They go, oh, man, look at his eyes, how they're like that, you know?
Exactly.
Where'd they buy that at?
And if somebody came and knocked on your door and you looked at them, the black-eyed child
was Damien!
Hand them a bag of candy.
Imagine
go
that.
Away, kid. Have a candy.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to watch Halloween first. Here.
They always sing. I didn't care if it was happy birthday or Christmas carols. They're singing.
You made them work for their chocolate.
They did.
Huh?
I made every one of them sing.
Nice.
Maybe that's why they don't come to my house no more.
So you scared them off.
That could be it.
Yeah. You know what, though? I bet he enjoys that candy. There was a ploy behind Stan's stance there.
You think?
You never know. No Twinkies.
No?
Twinkies. What do you know? Tricks. Trix bars.
How's that
Twinkies or cupcakes.
Twix.
Right?
How about a whatchamacallit?
Okay.
Remember those whatchamacallits?
Yeah, they were good. I used to enjoy them. Yeah.
They were good.
I don't know. I can't really say. I mean, Hershey's, or listen to me, Hershey, Reese's peanut butter cups. They're probably like my favorite Halloween snack that you get.
Yeah.
I mean, now if somebody was to put, you know, peanut butter filled Gertrude Hawk smidgens in my bag, now I'd be more than happy, you know, with them. I mean, not that I'm addicted to them or anything.
No, not at all.
No, not you.
No peanut butter and chocolate. No.
But I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, like, apples used to be a big thing long time ago. That was always a regular gift and that. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff, you know, we went down with that stuff years ago. Everybody with the fears.
Right. Oh, yeah. Remember those?
Yeah.
That's a shame. They actually had the hospitals at that time x-raying your candies and your apples.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That's right. Yeah. Checking for razor blades and stuff from sick people.
I mean, you gotta be safe no matter what you do anymore. I mean, there's some people that just do some crazy stuff and, yeah. But anyway, I mean, you want everybody to have a safe and happy Halloween time.
When you were Halloweening, do you remember, it seems to me like every neighborhood had a house you were afraid to go to. It was like...
the haunted house, the haunted spooky house.
The spooky house in the neighborhood. Do you guys agree with that?
I mean, every neighborhood you lived there,
there was a house you were afraid to go to, but you had to go there.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think mine was it, because like I said, no one ever came back there, so I don't know. As a kid, my parents' house, no one went back to.
Well, it's because it was... in this hideaway.
That's just it. That's what I mean. So I think we were it, actually. Like, of course, no one would tell me that, but I'm sure that's probably what the neighborhood kids thought.
Well, pretty much all the kids in the neighborhood hung out with you anyway, so with you.
That's true. So it actually got to that point, actually. When we were kids, like, no one would come back trick-or-treating, so my mother used to have like a little party, invite people over. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, just like to get some kids there when I was younger, you know? It's like, oh, we should make cupcakes and stuff. That's all right. We'll have a little get-together. So no one would come back on their own.
Bait them in.
Yep. Yeah, exactly, right? And they're probably like, those old people back there are baiting us in with candy. We're not going to go back there.
We're not going near there. No. I'm not going. Who's going to go first? I'm not going over there. I'm not going to knock on that door.
That's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, Mischief Night, and as I refer to it, you know, Howl's Eve and everything. I mean,
the kids don't have a Mischief Night anymore, do they?
No. Well, I hope they don't. I mean, there's a lot less paper and that getting thrown around, telephone poles and shaving cream and all that stuff.
For us, was soap on the windows.
Yeah, egging cars.
Yeah, I feared even try to sneak out on that night with repercussions that I may have felt from my father if I got caught. I'll just leave it at that. I didn't go out misbehaving on Mischief Night.
Yeah.
That was night you do
me neither.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guilty, I gotta say.
I got Pinocchio's in the office here.
I feel like I'm in true confessions right now.
I'm honest. I'm not gonna lie. I'm guilty of Mischief Night.
Sounds like I'm guilty.
I'm guilty.
I'm guilty. Yeah.
I think the statute of limitations is long over, Stan.
Well, Mischief Night. Right? You can't get in trouble with anything you do on Mischief Night.
That's right. Yeah, how could you get in trouble? How can you?
Yeah.
There's just no way you could get in trouble. Oh, man. That's funny. Oh, here comes the music. All right, well, we want to thank everybody for listening again, of course. Thank you for sharing your stories. And have a safe and fun Halloween. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zirk.
I'm Ed McRae.
I'm Kelly McRae.
Don't forget to keep the faith.
And sleep tight.
Yummy.